Good Sunday morning, my friend. This is Angie Carpenter. Welcome back to There's Hope broadcast. So good to be with you today. I hope you've had an amazing week. That everything that you've done, whether you've been eating, sleeping, working, playing, hanging out with family and friends, maybe even struggling, that whatever you did it knowing that God was with you and sensing His presence with you. I want to read today from James 1. And James is a beautiful book that teaches us how to live when we're under pressure, my friends. And so let's read it together. Let's pray and worship Him and let His word feed our spirits during our time together. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master, Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. I love the way James refers to himself as a slave and as Jesus as his master. Maybe today when we pray, let's just pray to our master. Call him master and see how that shifts our thinking, our perspective. That He's in charge, that He is over and we are under, that He calls the shots, that He rules the roost, that He's the king of our hearts, of our lives. James said, "Consider it a sheer gift, my friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." What? Did he really say that? When the tests and challenges come, to think of them as a gift? A gift? A gag gift, no less, right? Who wants to open up a gift and find a test and a challenge inside? But yet, it's what they are. For you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and it shows its true colors. How about that? You know, we say that when somebody's showing their true colors, that who they really are is coming to light. James is saying that when we're under pressure, then who we really are comes out into the open and we start to show our true colors. Wow. Wonder what colors are being pressed out of us in our hard seasons. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Wow. James says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. I don't know about you, friends, but when hard times come my way, when I'm in the middle of a difficulty, one of the first things I do is saying, God, get me out of this. But James is saying, that's the wrong prayer. Don't try to get out of things prematurely. Let the pressure, the circumstance, the challenge do a work in you so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Yes, Lord, we hear you calling us to press into the pressure, to press into the trials and the difficulties, for they're gonna bring us to maturity. And then we'll be well developed and not deficient in any good thing. You know, it's like that diamond in the rough. The more pressure, 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 the more that diamond can emerge. And James, he tells us then what to do when we're under this pressure. He says, if you don't know what you're doing, then pray to the Father. He loves to help you, and you'll get His help, and He won't condescend to you when you ask for His help. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. For people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. And don't think you're going to get anything from your master that way, drifting out at sea, keeping all your options open. Oh, my friend, that hits home, keeping my options open. I don't know about you, but so many times when I pray and I ask for God to intervene, He's my plan A, but I've got a plan B of my own in case He doesn't come through for me. True, don't we do that, my friends? But let's just say there's no plan B today. It's only God in His way, only His plan A, and no plan B from me. Lord, we want to step away from our own options and say, Lord, Your option is the only one. And we don't want to worry our prayers, Lord. We want to pray and then let it go into Your hands. I heard a friend say once, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. So, Lord, we just confess to You that sin of worry that we're holding on just in case You don't come through. We've got a plan B in our back pocket. Lord, we don't want to do that. We confess that as a sin before You today. And, Lord, we say, forgive us for worrying, Lord. Let us submit our requests to You and then wait patiently for Your answer, whatever that might be, knowing that it's in our best interest. And James goes on and says, when the down and outers get a break, cheer for them. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer for them. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wildflower, so don't ever count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises and pours down its scorching heat, that flower will wither, its petals wilt. Before you know it, that beautiful face is just a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment that everyone is looking on in admiration, it fades away to nothing. That makes me think of an old song that I love to sing, an old Hank Williams song. It says, some people steal, they cheat and lie. For wealth and what it will buy. Don't they know on the judgment day, all the gold and silver will melt away. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved, to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul. Well, Jesus said, come unto me, I'll break sin's chains and I'll set you free. I'll carry you to a home on high, and there you'll never, never die. What good is gold and silver too, if your heart's not good and true? Sinner, hear me when I say, better fall down on your knees and pray. Oh Lord, please hear us today.
as we fall down on our knees and pray.
So, my dear friends, let's not get thrown off course. Let's meet our challenges head on and stick it out, and then we will be truly blessed. For people who stick it out, they are people who are loyally in love with God, and His reward is a reward so much better than riches. So much better. So let's not give up under pressure or give in to evil and say, God, why are you trying to trip me up? You see, friend, God is impervious to evil, and He doesn't put evil in our way. No, the temptation to give in to evil comes from us, and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-ups of our own lusts. And when lust for money or wealth or fame, power, prestige, lust for attention, lust for accolades, pats on the back, when those things are conceived in us and we become pregnant with them, our life has a baby, a fruit of sin. And then that sin grows up in us and becomes a real killer of our spiritual life in God, of our joy. So, my dear friends, let's not get off course. Every desirable, beautiful, beneficial gift comes to us from heaven. And these gifts are like rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Yes, heavenly gifts are like rivers of light coming down from our Father of light. And there's nothing deceitful in God. There's nothing two-faced, nothing fickle about Him. Amen. So let's quit dabbling in sin. Let's purify our inner life. Let's quit playing the field. Let's hit bottom and cry our eyes out before the Lord. Yes, let's get serious, really serious, and get down on our knees before our Master. Because sometimes the only way to get back on our feet in this life is to get down on our knees. Yeah, when we've been knocked down and we can't seem to get back on our feet, we just need to get down on our knees. And friends, this week, let's not badmouth each other. See, this is God's words. It's His message, His royal rule. And His message, His way, is what takes a beating when we're gossiping about others. Instead, let's honor the message of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Good news, not bad news. So let's have good news on our lips this week. Not graffiti writing all over God's message, all over the gospel. You see, it's God who's in charge of deciding the destiny of others around us, not us. We're not the judge. So who are we to meddle in the lives of others? And now I have a word for you who brashly announce, oh, today, at the latest tomorrow, I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to be off to such and such a place for this year or that. I'm going to start this business or the other, make a lot of money. Well, we don't know the first thing about tomorrow. Maybe we have a plan or a dream, and maybe it's a true one.
Maybe it will come to pass, maybe not. But it's all up to the Master. You know, we don't know the first thing about tomorrow. We're just a wisp of a fog. We're catching a brief bit of sun before we disappear from this life. So instead, let's make it our habit to say, if the Master wills it, and we're still around, we'll do this, or we'll do that. As it is, we could be really full of our grandiose dreams and our grandiose selves. But James says that all such self-importance is evil. In fact, if we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, then that, for us, is evil. And a final word to the arrogant and rich. Take some lessons and lament. We're going to need buckets for our tears when the crash comes upon us. For our money's corrupt and our fine clothes, well, they stink. Our greedy luxuries are a cancer in our guts. They're destroying our life from within. And we thought we were piling up wealth and the good life for ourselves. But we have to be careful, friends, lest all we pile up for ourselves is judgment. For if we exploit our workers, if we cheat those that work for us, they will cry out for judgment. The groans of our workers that we've used and abused are roaring in the ears of the Master Avenger. Friends, let's not loot this beautiful creation, this beautiful earth of ours, in our living it up, but let's care for the beautiful earth that God has given us. And meanwhile, let's wait patiently for our Master's arrival. You see, farmers, they do this all the time. Oh, they plant the seed, they water, they tend, and then they wait, and they wait, and they wait patiently some more. And they wait until the fruit is ripened and the plant is mature. And they patiently let the rain do its slow and steady work. And God wants us to be patient like that. Steady and strong. Patiently waiting for the return of our Master. He could show up at any time. And friends, stop complaining about each other. You know, for every complaint that we have about someone around us, someone could say the same of us. Let's remember the judge and the judgment day are just around the proverbial corner. And we can look at the old prophets as our mentors. In the Old Testament, they put up with anything. They went through everything and they never quit. And all the time they honored God. And what a gift life is to those who stay the course. And you've heard, of course, of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail. And since we know that He cares, let's let our language show it. We don't need to add words to God's word. We don't have to show our impatience by concocting oaths to hurry God up, by making deals with God to get Him to act. No. We can just say, yes, or no.
A simple yes or a simple no. Just say what is true. Friends, when we keep it simple, just a no or a yes, no need for lengthy explanations or apologies. In this way, our language can't be used against us. And are you hurting? Then pray until you feel amazing, then sing. And if you are sick, call the elders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. And believing prayer will heal you. Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you sin, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. And I pray for you, my friend, that today, if you're sick in your body and needing a healing, that you will be healed in the name of Jesus. Not just your body, but your very spirit and soul that holds up and strengthens your body will be healed. That you'll be healed from the inside out. And that your insides will match your outsides, and your outsides will match your insides. That means the words that you speak will line up with your heart, and your heart will line up with your words and your actions. And all of those things will line up with God and with others in unity and peace. And make this your common practice to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. So I bless you today with someone in your life who loves God and serves God faithfully, who is a person who can keep a confidence, and that is a true, non-judgmental friend that will extend both grace and truth to you, to listen as you confess your sin and to pray for you so that you can live whole and healed. And I bless you with the prayers of a person who lives right with God. And I bless you with the gift that your prayers would be something powerful to be reckoned with. Like Elijah, who is a human just like us. And he prayed really hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. And I bless you with that same right standing with God that would allow you to move heaven and earth through your prayers. And then later Elijah prayed that it would rain again, and it did. And the showers came, everything began growing again. And my dear friends, this week, if we know of people who've wandered off from God, I pray that we will not write them off. But Lord, renew our faith for them, that you love them and care for them, and that we can go after them just like you are going after them. And we will go and get them back and rescue precious lives from destruction and prevent the epidemic in this nation of wandering away from God. And Lord, we ask that this week, the epidemic in this nation of wandering away from you would be stopped, would be supernaturally seceded and held back by the force of your love and your presence and the prayers of the righteous. And Lord, I bless everyone within my hearing with powerful prayers of righteousness in Jesus' name this week. And my friends, I pray that your week is so blessed, and I look forward to seeing you again here next week for this time of hope and worship in His Word. Amen.